Well, hey, we want to thank you for coming out and worshiping with us, just being a part of our gathering today. You know, one of the things that I've noticed in life is this: everybody is going somewhere. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what's taking place. Everybody is going somewhere. I've got a question for you this morning. What direction are you heading in life? Where is life taking you? Or maybe this is a better question that I could go ahead and phrase it. Where are you taking life? You know, in one of Jesus's last conversations with his closest followers and his closest friends, he got them together and he said, I want to share something with you that's absolutely incredible, but I also want to share something with you that'll go ahead and make a difference in your life, and it literally can change the world if you will let it. Well, last Sunday morning, we kicked off a series entitled, I Am Going, and we're just talking about I Am Going because we're all going somewhere. The question is, where are we going, and what are we doing along the way? And we've been looking at a question that Jesus just goes ahead and really gives his disciples. He has a conversation, and he doesn't ask the question, but as we read between the lines and we look at the words that are echoed there and jump off the page at us, one of the things that Jesus is asking them is, what are you going to do with your life? He says, I'm giving you an opportunity not only to change your life, but to really change the world. And what are you going to do with this opportunity? What are you going to do with this moment? Well, last Sunday, we looked at Matthew chapter 28, and we looked at what's called the Great Commission, and we looked at what Jesus had to say. And here's what we came to the conclusion of. We just walked away with four simple things. One of them was this: when Jesus speaks, we just really need to listen. Why? Because Jesus always has something incredible to say. Jesus has something that will not only change our life, but maybe change somebody else's life through us as we have an opportunity to be able to share that with them. And so one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is this: who am I listening to? As I'm going through life, who am I listening to? Am I listening to the voice of Jesus? Am I listening to the Word of God? Am I looking to Him and listening to the message that He gives us? Well, then the next thing that we said was this: we need to go with the message. Because as Jesus gets his followers together, he just says, look, as you're going, here's what I want you to do. I want you to teach them about me. I want you to baptize them. I want you to teach them everything that I have taught you, and I want you to help them to observe it. And he says, I'm going to be with you. You're not going to be on your own. Well, when they began to listen and they began to go, they realized that as they were walking by the place that they used to fish, the docks that their boat would be anchored in, there were people there that they could share that message with. As they gathered with friends and family, they realized in the normal routine things of life, there were moments, there were places, there were people where they could go ahead and share their faith and share that hope. They began to just go with the message. What was the message? The message was this: that Jesus loved them so much, that Jesus gave his life and he died. And not only did he die, he was buried. But not only was he buried, he rose again. And Jesus said, look, you have the opportunity to share this, and you can do it in everyday life. You see, the great thing about the disciples and the great thing about you and I is this: we're just everyday, ordinary people, but we have an opportunity to do something that's absolutely extraordinary. Well, as they were going, they had the challenge to be the message. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've observed in life that sometimes it's hard to be like Jesus wants us to be. Does anybody ever have trouble loving their neighbor? Does anybody ever have trouble not having the last word in that conflict or that argument? Does anybody ever have to bite their tongue and say, man, I just want to go ahead and say it so bad right now, but you just kind of hold back? I think if we're honest, we've all been there. But Jesus said, I want you to listen to me. I want you to go. But he says, as you're going, here's what I want you to do. I want you to observe the things I've taught you so that other people will observe those things as well. What he was saying is, I want you to be the message. Do you ever stop to realize that if you're a Christ follower, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you may be the only Jesus some people ever see? Think about that for just a moment. You might say, John, there's just no way that I have any kind of influence like that. And there's just no way that I could go ahead and be Jesus to someone else. Do you ever stop and realize that Jesus said when we go ahead and give a cup of cold water to that person that was sick and hurting, or we visited the one that was in need, or the one that was in prison, and we find out that Jesus said, look, when we do those kind of things for people, he said, when we do it for them, we've done it unto him. So when we begin to look at our life, there are many situations where we're a presentation and we're a reflection of Jesus, and we're the picture of Jesus that some people, that may be the only reflection, maybe the only picture they ever see. So Jesus said, I need you to listen, and I need you to go as you're going throughout your life. Everywhere you are, I need you to realize that there's somebody that needs you to be like Jesus, to be that person of love, to be that voice of reason, to go ahead and be a voice of truth and a life of truth that points people to the gospel, that points people to the one who can go ahead and change all things, the one who can go ahead and be that chain breaker. I love that song that we just sang just a moment ago, because there are people everywhere. People are struggling. Life is filled with struggles. We see evil unfolding, it seems like, at all new levels. We see people struggling with all kinds of different things that are just going on in life, and they get weighed down, and we ask ourselves, what's the answer? And over and over and over, we keep coming back to that one single truth, that Jesus Christ holds the answer, and Jesus Christ can guide to the answer, and Jesus Christ is the answer. So as we look at that and think about it, Jesus just said, I need you to be the message, but he said, I know it's a big order, and I know I'm asking a lot of you, so I need you to rely on me. I need you to rely on the message. Don't try and do it yourself. Just a moment ago, as AJ was praying, he said, Lord, help us to not fight you on it, because sometimes we think we're incapable of sharing his truth with someone else. We think we're not going to have the right words, we're going to do it in the wrong way, but we forget that Jesus said, look, I'm going to be with you. It's an incredible thing. Just think about it. It's an absolutely incredible thing. Some of you have the opportunity to go ahead and to take a stand in the workplace and to be able to share your faith. It's an incredible thing. And sometimes that might be a daunting thing. And sometimes you might think, what's everybody else going to say? What's everybody else going to think? But you know what? Jesus says, look, I'm right there with you. He's right there with you in the home. He's right there with you in the school. He's right there with you in the neighborhood. He's right there with you on the job. He's right here with us in our time that we gather and lift up his name. He's right here with us. So Jesus said, look, I just want you to rely on me. You see, the key is that we go through life with Jesus. Well, today we're going to just take a quick look, and we're going to talk about going through life and being willing to take a risk. Being willing to go ahead and just step out of our comfort zone and to take a risk with and for Jesus. What an incredible thing it would be if we decided as individual Christians and as a church body to just say, you know what, we want to be more like the early church, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to take a risk. We're just going to be risk takers. We're going to go ahead and put our faith and trust in Jesus, and we're going to take some incredible risks for him. Because can I tell you something? When we're doing what God wants us to do, while it might seem like a risk from our perspective, there's really not much risk when God's involved, right? When Jesus said, I want you to go out and I want you to tell the world, while they may have had a risk of getting uncomfortable, and while they may have had to get out of their comfort zone, while that may have felt a little risky, here's the truth. Here's the reality. Jesus was telling him, look, I'm going to be right there with you. So there's really no risk involved. Well, let's take a look at that passage of scripture that we looked at last Sunday. Matthew chapter 28, and here's what we're going to do. We're just going to talk for just a few moments this morning about taking that risk. And in Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 18, Jesus comes, and here's what he says. He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. When Jesus speaks, it's significant. Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, look, all authority has been given to me. I'm not without anything. I'm here to tell you this. And it begins to be life-changing. And then he says this, go, therefore, and make disciples. Or a literal translation is this: as you're going about your daily life, as you're going about the things that you do, here's what I need you to do. I need you to make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is one who's a committed follower of Christ and is forming the habits to go ahead and not only become like Christ, but to help other people become like Christ. That's what a disciple really is. He says, so as you're going about your daily life, make disciples of all the nations. He says, look, I want to go ahead and take this message to everyone. We don't realize just how transformational this was. We don't realize just how out of their comfort zone that this was. Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. The Samaritans were a mixed race in their day. And guess what? Jews said, look, we don't want to interact with them. But over and over and over, Jesus went out of his way to interact with them. Over and over and over, Jesus went out of his way to show them truth. So Jesus says, look, this is going to be a worldwide thing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, to apply the truth, to live it out, all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. There's something in that passage of Scripture that we just need to kind of zero in on this morning for just a few moments and then let some things flow out of it. And here's the first thing that Jesus gives us. And we don't often look at the Great Commission in this conversation in this way. But here's the reality. Everywhere in life, people are heading somewhere. People are busy. Earlier this week, our staff, we woke up early on Monday morning, or kind of like the middle of the night, it seemed like, and we got on a plane, and we went to D.C., and we were there at a conference and learning about missions and disciples and how we can go ahead and help other people do the same thing and equip our church and our community and all kinds of other stuff, and it was a great experience. But as we walked into the airport early that morning, there wasn't that many people there. But as we got into D.C., can I tell you something? There were people everywhere, and they were going, and they were on a mission. I mean, people are coming and going, and cars are flying around and doing all kinds of different things, and you just begin to look that we live in a very busy world, and we live in a world that sometimes doesn't seem to have much focus. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you're going to go and you're going to take a risk, if you're going to go and you're going to be everything I want you to be, then here's what you need to do. You need to go ahead and have a focus. Make your life all about me. Make your life all about Jesus. You see, sometimes life gets difficult and life gets busy, and one of the reasons it's difficult and one of the reasons it's busy is because our life takes on a focus that's about everything but Jesus. It's about everything but who he is and what he wants to do. You see, the Great Commission is given five times. Five times, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. It's given there in the Gospels and in Acts. And every time, here's what you're going to find out. Jesus says, look, if you really want to have a great life, then you need to go ahead and make me the focal point of your life. My message needs to be your message. You need to go ahead and trade in some of those struggles and some of those sorrows and trust me with it. Some of you are here this morning and maybe you're not even a Christ follower. You may not have trusted Christ, invited him to go ahead and be your forgiver and to be your Savior, and you wonder why you don't have the answers of life, and life continues to just be busy, and you seem like you're going in a million different directions, and there's no real focus, and there's no real help and hope that you've taken hold of, and sometimes it's just as simple as this fact that we don't know Jesus. We've not made him the focal point of our life. Jesus says, look, you can come to me and you can make me the focal point. See, he gives us the Great Commission, which is about telling people about who he is. And every time he gives it, it's all about making our life focused on him. But then he tells us about the great commandment. And that great commandment is this: to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That's the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it: love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, when you begin to make me the focal point of your life, When you begin to go ahead and break down those barriers, when you begin to let me take those chains and break them for you and set you free from some of those struggles, here's what happens. You can go ahead and know me in a greater way, and you can love me, and then you can go ahead and love the people around you. And here's the truth. When we love God with all that we are, we're going to go ahead and love other people as they are, and we're going to have a desire to go ahead and share the truth of who Jesus is with them. Why? Because we love him. So when we look at taking a risk, when we look at where we're going in life and we say, man, I'm going, I just want to ask you this question before you get up and get gone. What's the focal point of your life? Who's the focus of your daily life? Jesus is telling his followers, literally, as you're going, as you go to work, as you go home, as you interact in the neighborhood, as you interact in school, as you interact at the ball game, make me the focus of your life. Make me the one that you look to, the one that you find your hope in. You see, Jesus had a different kind of focus in his life. In Luke chapter 19, we see the focus of Jesus. Luke chapter 19, here's what we really discover. Verse number 41, it says this, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it." Jesus had a focus about him that we really need in our life. He went up, and he looked over the city, and he saw the hurt of the people. He saw the sin. He saw the struggles. He saw them kind of going around in many different directions and seemingly lost. And what did he do? He wept over their need. He wept over the fact that he was the answer and many of them were not looking to him. What would happen in our life, in my life and in your life, in the life of not only this church but every church, if we as individual believers came to a point where we were so focused on Jesus that we began to see the hurts and the needs and the struggles of other people like Jesus would see those needs, and we would begin to weep over their needs as well? You see, Jesus isn't standing looking up over Jerusalem and being judgmental. He's not standing and looking up over Jerusalem and saying, man, there's no hope for them. Nobody can do anything with them. No, he's looking, and he said, if they would only turn to me. When's the last time you really looked at somebody and said, man, if they would only give their life to Jesus? If they would only go ahead and just trust him. Jesus looked and he wept. He's calling us to be more like him. When Jesus becomes the focal point of our life, that begins to happen. You know, we don't often think about prayer as a risk. But here's what happens. In Acts chapter 1. Verse number 14, after Jesus gives this message, after Jesus gets him together and he talks to him for one last time, and he says, look, you're going to be witnesses unto me. And we're going to start right here in Jerusalem and Judea, and then it's going to spread to Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. He says, as that happens, here's what unfolds. It says, they went back. They went to the upper room, and in verse number 14, Acts chapter 1, it says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. What is supplication? Supplication is asking or begging in a humble way. It's a pretty incredible thing. Jesus has just given them an incredible responsibility, and he says, you're going to be a witness. I need you to go with me, and I need you to go for me. I need you to go ahead and be willing to take a risk and get out of your comfort zone. Because in case we don't realize it, Jesus had just been crucified. People had witnessed his burial, and very few people in the percentage of the population had witnessed his resurrection at this point in time. And Jesus says, look, I need you to go ahead and get out of your comfort zone. I need you to be a witness unto me. So he says, I want you to make me the focal point of your life. But then what do? They go back and pray. They begin to go back and pray. And they ask God for strength. And they beg God. Supplication, asking or begging God in a humble way. Lord, would you help us to reach our community? Would you help us to be able to change the world? Would you help us to be able to be that message of hope that other people are going to see? You see, when we look at the early church, their prayers weren't me-centered prayers. Their prayers were God-centered prayers. Their prayers were passionate prayers that were big prayers, and they were bold prayers. And they were asking God to go ahead and work and do what only God could work and do. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you prayed a bold, passionate prayer for God to enable you or to empower you to be that witness? To be someone that would go ahead and take a risk. Right away, the early church turns to prayer. It's conversation with God. They're pouring their heart out, but as they're pouring their heart out, they're literally begging God for his presence and power. You see, sometimes we think another program or a paradigm shift is going to be what changes our culture and what changes our community and what changes our world. But it's an incredible thing to stop and think that the one thing that changed the world in the day of the church when it was first getting started was the power of prayer. Because when prayer was sought and God was begged, God showed up and change began to take place. It wasn't about who the disciples were. It was about who Jesus was and who they believed he was. And what we ultimately need is this. We need people who will beg God for his presence and power. We need people who will beg God for opportunities to share their faith, to share who he is, and then when the opportunity arises, to go and do. Because not only did the early church pray, when it came time and there was an opportunity, they responded. You see, the early church didn't have it easy. They had it difficult, but they were committed. Think about this for just a moment. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 13, there's some unusual things taking place, and people on the outside start making fun of them. Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Do you know what's happening? The Holy Spirit is showing up, and there's some great things taking place, and other people that are on the outside looking in that don't understand everything, do you know what they say? They say, man, those people are just, they're just drunks. They're just drunk. There's nothing to them. They're full of new wine. They're just full of something that we don't want any part of. They were making fun of them. They were ridiculing them. Jesus has just given them a responsibility. They go and they pray, and now people are making fun of them. How many of you like to be made fun of? No, most people don't, right? I mean, they just don't. Nobody goes ahead and wears a sign around on purpose that says, make fun of me. I mean, people don't like to be called out. People don't want to be the sense of ridicule or the face of ridicule. But this group was committed. They kept going when it wasn't easy. You see, they were committed to God's word. It says they continued in the apostles' doctrine daily. They got together and they worshiped him. What does that mean? It means they were committed to God's word. They were committed to God's truth. They were committed to living their life in that direction. Wouldn't it be an incredible thing today if we began to go ahead and just take a risk and say, okay, I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to pray a bold, passionate prayer for God to go ahead and maybe break the chains in my life that need to be broken. I'm going to go ahead and pray a bold, passionate prayer to ask God to help me be the believer that he wants me to be. Maybe we ought to pray a bold, passionate prayer and say, Lord, I'm going to be committed. As the early church was committed to your word, that's what I want for my life. That's what I want for our church. That's what I want for my family. That's what I want in my life is to be committed to your word. Even when other people might go ahead and say, oh, there's a better way. There's a different way. They were committed to his word, but they were also committed to sharing it, to telling others. You see, they're made fun of in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 13. And Peter was one who always was quick to speak, slow to think. Can I just tell you from experience, that's not a good conversation starter. You generally don't want to go ahead and speak first and think about some things later. I can just have a transparent moment this morning. Every once in a while when I was growing up, that got me to the dean's office, right? You just would go ahead and speak, and after it was said, you thought, man, that may not have been the right time or the place, and you found out that it wasn't. Well, Peter goes ahead, and here's what he does. Verse number 14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words.'" And he begins to go ahead and share a prophetic word that comes from the Old Testament. He began to go ahead and speak truth about what had taken place and what would go ahead and take place. And he doesn't back down. You see, in the face of adversity, in the face of difficulty, here's what he does. He goes ahead and he stays committed to sharing God's word. Not just to living by it, but he was committed to not keeping it to himself. You see, they had a commitment to reach the world, and they just kept moving right ahead. There was a commitment to reach the world, and in the face of adversity, they just kept moving right ahead. But you know, there's something else that comes through in the Great Commission. And it comes through in the message of the early church, and it's just this. It's sacrifice. You see, that there was a focus, clear focus. Then there was prayer. They got together and they prayed passionately because it was all on Jesus and God. They were relying upon him. But they were committed to his word and committed to sharing. And maybe we just need to take a risk and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be committed to your word. I'm going to be committed to sharing it. I don't want to keep it to myself, because prayer and sharing the word of God changed the world in their day. And can I tell you something? It can change our world in our day. But there's just a simple thing. It's called sacrifice. What does sacrifice mean? Sacrifice means it costs you something. Jesus told his followers, he said, here's the deal. As you're going, you have the opportunity to go ahead and tell people about me or you. If you tell them about me, it's going to cause you to sacrifice your ego just a little bit. If you tell people about me, it's going to cause you to sacrifice a little airtime in your conversations. If you tell people about me, it might cost you a few friends. But if you tell people about me, it will be so worth it for you and for them long term. It pays off. You see, the early church was a group of people that knew what it was like to sacrifice. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 44, here's what's recorded. It says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things common." We're just a few verses into the church unfolding, and thousands have already given their heart and life to Jesus, and they've already turned to him. And here's what's happening. They're seeing a radical transformation because of who Jesus is and what he can do. And it says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common." It says this in verse number 45, "And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." They divided them among all as anyone had need. They were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to go ahead and let it cost them something so that other people could go ahead and benefit. What would happen in the world today, and how could the culture be changed if we were just willing to go ahead and sacrifice just a little bit? If we were willing to go ahead and let our faith cost us something, if we were willing to go ahead and say, look, I'm going to go ahead and not spend everything that I have. I'm going to go ahead and invest it towards the kingdom of God and towards making a difference in somebody else's life. What would happen? This week, as we were in Woodbridge, Virginia, in the D.C. area. We were with Chris Rodenizer, and his dad has been a pastor in that area for many years. And 10 or 12 years ago, Chris went out and planted a church out of his dad's church, and people went and with him and all kinds of things, and they celebrated it. And as anything, sometimes life can go ahead and be a struggle. And his dad called him one day and said, Chris, I need you to go ahead and stop by my office before you go home. And Chris said, Dad, I'm really busy. I got a lot of things going on. I just can't do that. And he was just kind of discouraged. And his dad said, No, son, you need to go ahead and come by my office before you go home. And he could just sense the tone that he needed to go there. Didn't know what was wrong. But he went to his dad's church, and he walked in that office. And there in that office was a little old lady that Chris had known for many years, but the little old lady didn't know who Chris was. And then she began to piece the puzzle together. And a few weeks prior to that, Chris had been at the grocery store, and here's what he did. He took a little extra time to push this lady's cart and help her load groceries in her car. And she said, I couldn't get over that. So she begins to go ahead and just share how him going ahead and taking a moment to be nice to her had instilled something in her. She said, I want to go ahead and I want to write your church a check for $116,000. He said, Dad and I sat there when we heard that and said, no, you can't do this. You can't afford it. And she said, don't you too tell me what I can afford and what I can't afford. God's laid it on my heart, so that's what I want to do. They went over to the bank. The banker looked at him funny. They said, we've tried to talk her out of it. The banker tried to talk her out of it. He said, no, nobody's talking me out of it. This is what I want to do. I want to do something for the kingdom of God. She wrote that check, and years later, a church is still going. A church that was turned around in large part by that sacrificial contribution. You know what? Most of us in here today don't have a checking account or retirement assets that would allow us to write a check of $100,000. The amount is not the point. It's the heart. Jesus looked at a little old widow who was casting in her mites at the temple, and he said, man, she's given far more than anybody else, because everybody else is giving and sacrificing supposedly out of their abundance, but she's giving all that she had. Now, can I just tell you, if you see me and Dave and AJ and others out pushing grocery carts, don't think ill of us. You think Dave's away preaching today, but he's working the Kroger and Walmart lot. What would happen if we just drew things together in our lives as individuals and said, okay, I'm going and I'm going to be willing to take a risk. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make Jesus the focal point of my life. I'm going to focus on him. For some, that might mean you're going to trust him as your Savior and allow him to forgive your sins, because that's what he wants to do, and he wants to come into your life and he wants to change it forever. For others, maybe it's focusing on him beyond that moment of salvation, because you've known Jesus and you've attempted to walk with him, but he's not had much of your focus. Maybe others, it would be, I'm going to pray some big prayers like the early church was willing to pray, and I'm going to talk to God and I'm going to depend upon him. Maybe it would be stepping up your commitment and saying, okay, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to trust God's word. I'm going to build my life around him. I'm going to share his message, because it changed my heart and life, and it changed the early world in the early church. It can still change things today. And maybe others, you would say, look, sacrifice is it for me. I need to start letting my faith cost me something. I need to start going ahead and saying, okay, I want to do what God wants me to do, and I'll be willing to let it cost me something, because ultimately it cost Jesus everything. And a little sacrifice from us could go ahead and make a world of difference. Where are you going? The early church and those early disciples said, I'm going with Jesus, and I'm going to take a risk. Today, Would you say, I'm going with Jesus, and I'm going to tell the world about him as I'm going, and I'm going to be a risk taker that's focused on him, that prays passionately to him, that's committed to his word and his message and getting it out to the world, and one that's willing to sacrifice. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today and we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for the things that you've done and that you're going to do. And Lord, as we come to you today, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to get little simple ways that we can make you our focus, that we can turn our life to you. Father, I pray that you would help us to pray with supplication, to beg you for your presence and your power in our lives as individuals, in our homes, in our church. Not so that we can have that, but Father, so that we can go ahead and be the agents of change that you've called us to be. Father, I pray that you would help us to be committed to your word. Father, that you would help us to be willing to sacrifice. Not just financially, Father, but sacrifice our time. To be willing to use our talents to serve you, to make a sacrifice in that area, to look at where we're using our life and be willing to go ahead and make some sacrifices so we can do more for your kingdom. Father, I ask you, if there be one here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, that this would be the day that they would come to you. This we ask in your precious name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to sing a verse, an invitation hymn. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, but you would like to know more about who Jesus is, about how he can change your life, about how you can place your faith in him and have a brand new start, if you'd like to know that, we'd love to tell you more about Jesus and who he is. And if that's you, the moment that we stand together and sing, I would invite you just to leave your place and come. We won't embarrass you in any way. There'll be somebody here that'll pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, I already know Jesus as my Savior, but I do need to go ahead and make a deeper commitment to him in my faith, a deeper commitment to being more of what he wants me to be, to praying, to being more committed to him, to his word, to his church. Maybe even that area of sacrifice. Maybe that's something that he's speaking to your heart about. Maybe that little prayer card we passed out last week, one person for 1 minute at 1 o'clock for 1 month. And maybe you want to pray for that person or one of them and ask God to work in their life. Whatever your need might be, as we stand together and sing this song, I would encourage you just to respond. Would you stand with me, please? If you know the words, I invite you to sing along.